And Philly and Comcast Sports, Mr. Jim Salisbury's online. Hi, Jimmy.
Good morning. How are you, Angelo?
Jimmy, you're excited right now, aren't you? When do you head down to spring training?
I'll head down in the morning, and I always get a little bit of pep in my step when I'm heading down there, yeah.
Is it because of the warmer weather or because of the crack of the bat?
It's because of the pop of the mitt and the fresh grass and the swaying palms and the blue skies and hope springs eternal.
There's something about it. No other sport has that same feeling. You're absolutely right about that, Jimmy. Jimmy, should we feel less enthusiastic because of the sad ending to last season?
No, I think it should fire you up more and get going this season. You still have a pretty good nucleus, a very good nucleus. I still think they're a team to beat in the National League. Sure, there are concerns, but you know what? There are about 28 other teams in baseball that would love to have the Phillies' concerns. So I think... You know, there's plenty of reason to be optimistic that some good things will happen this year.
All right. Ruben Amaro last week was asked this question, Jim, and he really did not completely answer it, so I'll ask it of you. Is this team as good as the 102-win team of a season ago?
Well, you can't answer that until October because they reached a stage in their franchise where with huge payrolls and big elite talent that they have, that you judge seasons by how they do in October. They could conceivably win 8 to 10 games less and still win the division. Get to October, if they win those 11 games, they're a better team and it's a better season. So, you know, on paper coming in, you know, maybe not. Who knows what, you know, Utley is? Who knows when Howard's going to be back? Oswalt is not there. You know, he wasn't Oswalt last year, but, you know, they're a little bit different team, so they may not be better on paper, but, you know, I've learned that on paper only means so much. It really matters what happens on the field.
Yeah, you know, the 102 completely kind of faded away once they got knocked out. You're absolutely right about that. So, Jim, I guess the question, you mentioned Utley. He keeps coming up over and over again. He's the first reference point of a lot of people looking at the season. Could you just tell us, is there a reason to believe he can move back toward the big production years of 3 or 4 years ago?
Well, he'd be my number one issue coming into camp. I'm very kind of eager to see how things are going to play out there. I believe he's going to be on the field and be healthy, but can he be, you know, the old Chase Utley at age 33 coming off really severe knee problems that, you know, just really don't go away? That from everything I hear, those type of knee issues you have to learn to manage, and he managed them last year and got on the field, but clearly was a different hitter, did not drive the ball with the same pop that he used to. He didn't hit those ringing balls in the gap, and who knows, on that last Friday night of the season, the old Chase Utley, that ball might have went 2 feet over the wall.
You know, that thing's haunted me, Jim, more than any other moment. That hit, because I was in the stadium for that, I thought it was gone when he hit it.
I thought Ibanez was gone.
Oh, Ibanez.
It was the fourth inning, too.
Yeah.
One more little breath of October air. And that baby was out. It was crazy. There were so many little things in that game, in that series. Shoemaker's at bat. Cena didn't hit the cutoff man early. Utley and Ibanez just missed by, centimeter. But, you know, Utley did square up balls, which is a good thing, but they didn't, you know, they didn't jump like they used to. And a lot of that is because he could not strengthen his legs, and legs are so important for a hitter. It's where you derive your balance and your power. And especially a guy like that with that short, quick swing. So, you know, talking to Ruben Amaro, the guy is healthy and he's developed new ways of strengthening his legs. We're going to see if it can work. And so when he does square up a ball, it jumps like it used to because they need a guy in that three hole that can really drive it like the number three hitter.
So we go into spring training on Saturday, Jim, and at this point, where Utley bats is still a question mark? Because he was moved into the two-hole at some point last year, and
yeah,
he shuffled that around. Will he be three starting out, or how do you think that plays out?
Knowing Charlie, he's always a guy who's kind of going to go back to, what got him there, and I think Utley will hit third. He's always preferred that. But, you know, if it turns out over time that he's a different hitter, you know, that's something they have to think of, moving him up. He does know how to work counts and get on base. He has other facets to his game, but out of the chute, I believe he's your number three hitter. Out of the chute, I believe Jimmy's the number one hitter. That's just the way Charlie operates. But, you know, I think this year as guys get older, you have to keep your eyes open a little bit more and then maybe make adjustments.
All right, Jim, this is an issue I haven't heard brought up, but it keeps coming up in my mind because other than the Utley ball in the ninth inning that would have tied the game, the other thing, obviously, is where the Phillies have a 4-0 lead in game two of that playoff series against St. Louis, and Cliff Lee coughs it up. I think the city will feel a little less affectionate toward him because of that, but do you think it could have any long-term bearing on him that he had that series in his hand and let it get away?
I don't think so. I mean, we talked about this a few weeks ago. I thought that was the turning point in the series. When you play a short series and you have the opportunity to go up 2-0, that series is over. So that was absolutely the game changer, so to speak, in that series. But he's a guy who doesn't seem to let a whole lot bother him and a whole lot affect him. He's kind of a shrug and move on kind of guy, and I think that will help him. The other thing I think will help him is he stood right there in the spotlight and said, you know, put that game on me. I blew that game. And then after they lost game five, he stood there and he said, put this series on me. I let it get away and it changed there. So he faced it head on. He didn't run from it. So I think, you know, probably in his mind, it's over and done with, and he's moved on and is ready to contribute to another good season.
Well, I would like to see Halladay get his championship, and I would like to see it be this year. Jim, I have one last thing, and this is, you know, right now there is a frenzy at the Phillies box office because tickets for single games just went on sale. And they're actually raking in thousands of dollars right now. Just picture like a big, big pile of money sliding across. And I thought I would help them spend a little of it. And I heard that the Phillies are involved in a bidding war right now with the New York Yankees over a young kid named Jorge Soler, a Cuban guy, 19, 6'3", 205 pounds. According to Buster Olney of ESPN, it's down to the Yankees or the Phillies. What can you tell us about the kid, and how much of a chance do the Phillies have to beat out the Yankees for him?
Well, I think most of that money is going to Cole Hamels that you speak about. He's a 19-year-old guy. They've looked at him. They like him. They like him more than the Suspedes guy, who they looked at. I can tell you this. The Phillies look at everybody. They do their due diligence. They're very good at that. They do like him, but if he's going to cost 12 to 18 million, like we're hearing, it just doesn't add up for me. It's not their style. The most that they have ever spent in Latin America is $850,000.
Wow.
Now they're going to spend 12 to 15 million on a guy who needs to go to the minor leagues. It just doesn't add up for me, especially as they try to budget to retain a homegrown pitcher like Cole Hamels.
So you're not even buying the report, Jim?
I'm buying that they've looked at him. I know they've looked at him. I've written about him. I know they like him. It just doesn't really add up to me that he will be a Philly. I'm sure they're monitoring it. If the price changes, he very well may be. But put it this way, if he ends up with the Phillies, it's a real departure from the way they've done business in Latin America.
Yeah, that would be. I did not know all that history. That's why Jim Salisbury comes on. Jim, we are looking forward to it. What kind of stuff are we going to be getting from you when you get out there? I guess you're going to be doing daily reports on Comcast Sportsnet's Sports Night and all those shows.
We'll do some of those, and you know, obviously our website is terrific and getting better by the day. CSNPhilly.com, and I write on the website, and we'll be a little bit on the tube and try to keep you informed.
Sounds fantastic. Jim, enjoy Florida. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thank you.
Jim Salisbury with some interesting insights.
He'll be working hard. He probably doesn't know they're doing lunch break from spring training, so I get off next week. So they're probably going to make him work.
I just want you to know I'm discouraged by what you just said.
Why?
The Phillies don't spend that kind of money on Latin American young players.
Is that Latin America?
Well, it is, but this is an unusual case because he's Cuban, where normally the country doesn't let him out. They have to sneak out.
He's
one of those guys.
He has to. They have to kidnap him? He can't just go?
They